Hello and welcome to this episode of Total Health with Dr. Cage. I am Dr. Cage. I am a naturopathic physician, a researcher, and I am the host of this podcast. One of the subjects I've stated as part of my core message in life, if you've read anything on my website, is this idea of human consciousness. Basically, some of the key questions are, what is consciousness? Can we improve it? How do we improve it, if so? And why does it matter with regards to your health or to your life? To start understanding this broad, vague subject, today I'm going to talk about how we develop some of the basic levels of consciousness by examining how we develop our higher cognitive processes from childhood to adulthood. Then I'm going to talk about some of the things that those of us engaged in consciousness research and training have come to find out and believe that we have definite ideas about what is possible for human consciousness, and that we as a human race have barely begun to max out our potential in this regard. We have a lot more we can do. I'll talk about that as well as it relates to health and especially the subtle energies we all possess. If you saw that in the title and that's why you clicked here, yes, we will be talking about the subtle energies. Before I begin that, however, if you haven't already subscribed to this podcast, please do so. I am now available on many different podcasting platforms, all the usual suspects, as the saying goes. So no matter which is your favorite, you should be able to easily keep up with each of my new episodes. One of the recurring themes in my work on health is the importance of nutrition. While this is the most important aspect of health you can deal with, if we allow it to, nutrition can become quite complex when in reality, the basic fundamentals of nutrition, what you need to be healthy, are very straightforward. So to assist everyone who has a desire to improve their health and would like to get started, I have a 5-page handout where I define high quality nutrition, and I will send you that handout absolutely free so that it can make your health quest easier. Just go to my website, which is www.drcagesays.org. And fill out the contact form on the contact page, and in the message, ask for my nutrition handout. Now, as a bonus, this is the first time I've offered this, is in this podcast, and it's only for listeners of my podcast. If you include in your message the words total pod, TOTALPOD, one word or two, doesn't matter, you will receive a 15% discount off my published price for any course, video, or consultation service I currently have on my website. It does not apply to the links to purchase books, as those are sold through Amazon, but it can range from 15% off my $25 per month Qigong classes for the first month, up to and including my concierge medical services, which are a $2,250 value, which covers all naturopathic medical services for you for one full year. If you've listened to any of my podcasts and you've been to my website and thought, wow, I really like that longevity program, or yeah, I think I need enough healthcare this year that a concierge program would make sense, but the cost was just a bit too high, well, here is your chance to save 15% off the price of whatever it is you're looking for. Just send me that email with the request for the nutrition handout and add the words total pod to the message and tell me which product or service you like, and we will get in touch and complete the details. This offer, 15% off of a service or information product, will be good through the end of July 2023. If you are listening to this podcast for the first time and it's after July 2023, please accept my apologies, but just stay tuned, follow the podcast. I will probably be having similar offers periodically in the future. So let's dig into the world of human consciousness and subtle energies. Let me start the conversation by acknowledging that neither the fields of biology, nor medicine, nor psychology, nor philosophy really knows what consciousness is. We can describe capabilities and attributes that we say are signs of consciousness or the result of consciousness. We know that we humans are capable of thought. We can ponder the source and structure of the universe. We can investigate the structure and function of our own bodies, and especially the nervous system, down to excruciating detail at the molecular level. But as far as what is consciousness, there is no one in scientific circles who really knows. At least no one in Western scientific circles really knows. Eastern medicine, though, starts to get a bit closer. Asian systems of medicine have grown out of a very different culture. They view the world and the universe more holistically. They recognize a variety of complex interactions. And in all of that, they include a description of energy that they call qi or prana. And Western scientists have started to refer to as the subtle energies. And it's only a very small percentage of Western scientists who acknowledge that the subtle energies are real and should be investigated. This is part of how we start to develop what seems like a more accurate description of consciousness, which is by looking beyond the limits of Western science. So I want to review some of the qualities we associate with consciousness. This includes things like sensory awareness, an ability to sense what is going on around us in our environment, things like vision, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Information process. This is where we take in that raw data and we have an ability to process it and infer from that information more than it contains. Consciousness seems to have an ability to learn from our past experience. It includes an awareness of where it is possible to receive information from. And by this, I'm referring to not just here in the physical world, but the other frequency-based aspects of the universe. Different systems of philosophy might call that different planes of reality. And I liken this to the fact that wherever you are right now, listening to this, if you look around you with your eyes, your hearing, and so forth, the odds are really good. You do not see the telephone signals passing through your room. You don't see the television or radio signals passing through your room. The only reason we know they're there is because we've specifically developed these technologies that allow us to generate those frequencies and to receive them and detect them. That's how we know telephones work. We make a phone call, we recognize the voice of the person on the other end, and so we know that it really does work. Even though no human being has ever seen a radio wave or a microwave wave. So in the world of consciousness, in the higher aspects of consciousness, we acknowledge these other planes of frequencies and develop an ability to sense them. Consciousness includes an awareness that we are a holistic being. Everything is interconnected, our body, our mind, our emotions, our spirit. And the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. That's a level of consciousness. It also includes an awareness and an ability to connect with group consciousness and for the group to become something greater than the sum of the parts, meaning the sum of each individual in a group. Well, this doesn't all happen instantly, of course. There are developmental stages we go through, starting in infancy up through adulthood, and hopefully it continues our entire life. First stage for infants, while their brains and nervous systems are growing and developing, is to acquire language. A next major stage is developing skills such as spatial relationships. This is why early on in an infant's life, the game of peekaboo is fascinating for the child. Mom hides her face behind her hands, even though it's right in front of the child, but the child saw the face disappear and really thinks mom disappeared. And then she opens her hands, takes her hands away, and the child sees mommy, and mommy says, peekaboo, and disappeared. Where did mommy go? Opens her hands. Oh, mommy's back. Where did mommy? Children up to a certain age, maybe, I don't know, 4 to 6 months, think that game is marvelous. But after that, the child has grown more nervous connections, more neural connections, and created pathways in the brain that allows an understanding of spatial relationships. The child, you try that after that age, like you try it to 1-year-old and they just laugh at you, right? It's like, oh, mom, that's so childlike. They know you're simply hiding behind your hands. Some of the next steps that come along as children continue to grow is abstract thought. Skills such as to compare sizes and shapes or volumes. A common one is you take a ball of modeling clay, you roll it up into a ball, and then you take another exactly the same size and weight, and you smash it out to where it's very thin, but it covers the whole. Yes, which one's bigger? And they almost always point to the one you flattened out because it fills more of their field of view. It seems bigger. But it isn't, right? There's the same weight, the same amount of clay in each case. At some point, you know, you get closer to, I don't know, 7, 8, or 9 years of age, then abstract thought kicks in, and they know, oh, yeah, those are the same. No big deal, right? So there's development. This is why children, the most important thing children can do to develop their consciousness and develop life skills is to play. Have kids play with as much as you can, different games, as long as they're safe, of course. You know, give them all the different toys you can. Give them Legos. Give them Erector sets. Give them Lincoln Logs. Give them those funny, especially younger, those little balls that pull apart, but they have different cross-sectional shape little blocks. You put the star through the star hole and the cylinder through the round hole and so on. And that's great for kids. Let them play. When kids are young, the most important thing they can be doing is playing. So one of the best comparisons I've encountered out there to describe how we develop, and I've modified it a bit over the years for my own purposes, is comparing a human mind to a computer. There are some accurate analogies here. Computers are a combination of hardware, such as microchips, hard drives, display monitors, input devices such as keyboards and so on, combined with software. Software are the instructions that tell the hardware what to do and play a big role in what's called the user interface. What that means is, do you have a keyboard, do you have a mouse, what does the screen look like, how do you know what the computer is doing, and so on. So that's basically the software. In a human being, the hardware corresponds to our nervous system, the brain and spinal cord, which make up our central nervous system. And then all the peripheral nerves running everywhere else, to the sense organs, to the skin, to control our muscles, and so forth. Other nerves run to control different aspects of our internal organs. So that's the hardware. Comparing to the computer software, though, still doesn't tell us what consciousness is. Consciousness, let me say this, can't be understood by looking only at the physical body. So you get an idea of the hardware, sure, I've got arms and legs and eyes and ears, brain, hopefully we have. But we have to really understand what consciousness is, because we can't really see the software running on our hardware. We have to go beyond the physical, and to get a better idea, what we have to look at is what is called in systems of Eastern medicine, as well as some systems of philosophy, is the energetic part of our human nature. The energetic part of our human nature basically means we naturally, through the vibrating electrons in our body, we generate electric fields. The heart has the strongest because it's beating constantly. The brain has the second strongest, but it's there everywhere. We've got scientific instruments that can map it, right? Asian science and philosophy talks about their version of the subtle energy called qi in China and similar names elsewhere. It is said that qi forms a background field of energy that permeates everything in the universe. The interactions of waves in the qi field produce physical matter, which exists for a finite period of time, and then will dissipate back into the background field, the background qi field. Qi is part of what animates living organisms. Qi is part of what keeps us alive. Qi comprises an energy, a raw power, as well as being a carrier or a holder of information and intelligence. Now, the area of Western science, specifically physics, and more particularly modern physics, there are some very similar descriptions to this qi field phenomenon. For those who may not be familiar, modern physics is a term that evolved about 100 years ago in the early 20th century as a series of problems arose in physics, and they were closely followed by a series of new discoveries and theories that were completely at odds with the concept of classical physics that had existed since the time of Galileo and Newton in the 1600s. Two categories of information from these new discoveries came to be called quantum mechanics, and another is relativity. Quantum mechanics is interesting. It says that many natural phenomena, which logic said would be capable of existing at any possible value, in fact, can only exist at very specific discrete values. Numerous physicists were involved in the discoveries of quantum mechanics. Some of the big names are Max Planck, Niels Bohr, Werner Heisenberg, and Erwin Schrödinger. So the idea of these discrete values, and it's discrete values that are called quanta, it's kind of like saying, well, human beings, people, could be exactly 5 feet tall or exactly 6 feet tall, but nothing in between. The area this has had the biggest effect on our understanding of the universe has been in atomic structure. Niels Bohr, in particular, developed the first quantum mechanical-based model of hydrogen, for those who want to go read about this. Now, the next big field of modern physics is relativity. A couple different ways of using relativity were developed by Einstein. They showed a number of things, and mostly about how the universe and matter behave when they attain speeds approaching the speed of light. Since all the laws of physics have to apply all the time, it was guaranteed that someone would eventually combine relativity and quantum mechanics into a cohesive theory. Again, several investigators were involved, most prominently Richard Feynman, and this new theory came to be known as quantum field theory. Quantum field theory is incredibly complex, and technically it has to remain only a theory because the math and equations are so involved and so complex, no one can really solve them or use them. Not all physicists agree with quantum field theory, but there really isn't any better theories that have come along. So quantum field theory is the de facto theory of choice for how matter behaves at the very, very small end of things. Now, this level of introduction was required, probably more physics than you thought you were going to get into today based on the title of my podcast, but I am sharing it because it has a strong basis, and it's a strong example of the best of modern science, and the pieces that became quantum field theory have several Nobel Prizes in its pedigree chart. Feynman won one, Niels Bohr, a couple others. Those pioneers all had Nobel Prizes in physics. The key point for our discussion today is that quantum field theory describes a background field of energy that permeates everything in the universe that is simultaneously everywhere. Physical matter is created when interactions of waves take place in the quantum field. Those interactions produce physical matter, which exists for a short period of time, and then it dissipates back into the quantum field. Now, if that description sounds a lot like the description of chi and the chi field I just gave you, well, you're right. What this tells us, in essence, is that the chi field is the quantum field. To understand how this energy is used in our bodies, how it helps animate us, is a long, long story. It could take an entire book to properly explain it, not just a 15 to 20 minute podcast. So I'm going to just stick to the highlights here. And in fact, I am writing a book on how how science explains the subtle energies as they work in our body. The short version is this. Qi enters our body through a series of energetic organs or structures. The most commonly known are, first, a series of vortices, best described by Ayurvedic medicine from India, which are called chakras. And second, a series of fine channels for energy in the body called meridians, which contain key points called acupoints. And all this is best described by Chinese medicine and acupuncture. The qi/quantum field energy is routed from the chakras into the meridians and eventually connects to every organ and, in fact, every cell in the body, providing it with a supply of energy and carrying information to our cells. This, now, is how we can start to understand how the system of energy medicine can exert its healing abilities. Properly trained practitioners can manipulate the energy field of a client by stimulating the energy field directly, by using acupoints in the meridians, and by using the chakras. Systems of medicine such as acupuncture, acupressure, homeopathy, medical qigong, the system I teach, Akadwa energy, there are many other methods. There's simply some of the major ones, the ones I'm most familiar with. The energy field alterations are essentially sending energy and information of a healing intent to the body as a whole or to specific organs. Those in turn then activates the innate healing abilities of the client and allowing a healing process to begin. That's a very short version. There are a few books I can recommend. The Dancing Wuli Masters by Gary Zukav is a great description of the links between physics and qi. A book called Vibrational Healing by Richard Gerber, very good starting point, a very good overview. And there's another with a bit more of a scientific point of view called Energy Medicine, the Scientific Basis by James Ashman. I also have a book I've written, which is a short introduction to the Akadwa energy healing system called Akadwa Energy, an Ancient Healing Energy for a New Era. And if you go to my website, I have a section for books and a link where you can purchase my Akadwa energy book. This has been a very, very short introduction to the field of consciousness and the field of subtle energies. I would like to have a much longer one, but the truth is, it's really tough putting details for this level of a subject into a podcast. So I have in my core health lectures on my website, if you are a Patreon member, I have one of my core lectures is on the subtle energies. So that lecture has a lot of video and drawings and much more detailed explanations. And so I encourage you to come over and join the Patreon program on my website and learn more about this if you like. So just to recap a couple of things, we all have an energetic nature that serves as a vehicle for linking us to our own higher intelligence, what some systems of philosophy might describe as our soul or our spiritual essence. This energetic nature is based in the phenomena of the subtle energies, chi, prana, and so on, which is part of the mechanism of action for how we live, how we survive, and helps us maintain a connection with the divine portions of the universe, which is another name for those frequency-based planes that I mentioned. It is possible for you to train your consciousness, which it can be improved, it can be upgraded, just like you can upgrade your computer, you can also upgrade your consciousness. If you're interested in courses on exactly how to do this with the subtle energies and how this might work, how this work might benefit your own personal spiritual work, your own healing work, please contact me. Send me an email, either from the contact page or the contact form on my contact page on my website, or you can email me directly, drcagesays@gmail.com. That's drcagesays at gmail.com. So that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Please remember to subscribe so you automatically get all the updates and get notified of my next podcast. If you like what you hear, please come over to my website, drcagesays.org, and I have links to all the major portions of my book, or my work, my clinic, my online health community, my books, courses, and so on. So, thank you for listening. I hope you tune into future podcasts. If you have requests for, how does anything I've talked about affect X, Y, and Z, you have a condition you'd like to know more about, please email me. I am very open to taking requests on what you'd like to hear, because ultimately this whole thing is aimed at serving you. That's it for today. I'm Dr. Cage. Until next time.